Tesamen Aleph, second line. Torah Rabbanon. Nosnim mizonos lifnei akelev bechotzer. You're allowed to feed your dog on Shabbos. And we're going to see about feeding a goy on Shabbos. And now you're doing a tircha on Shabbos for the sake of an animal. But the key of keys here is that it's your animal. We'll see about someone else's animal in a minute. And nitolo v'yotza, even if the dog takes this food and goes out, ain is kochin lo, you don't have to prevent the animal from taking your food and going out with it. Kayotzeba, we have a similar, or shall we say a parallel, lochinosin mizonos lifnei anochri b'chotzer, you can be matriach yourself to feed a guy in your chotzer. And it told the Yotzein is Kokolo, and in fact the guy decides to take your mizonos on Shabbos and walk out with it, that's not a problem. You don't have to run around and stop the guy from doing that. And take a look at Tosis Dibur Masel Nosnim, and he says that even though Beit Shammai back on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis prohibit selling or even lending things to a guy on Erev Shabbos if he cannot reach his house before Shabbos, nevertheless here there would be moda that you're allowed to put mizonos in front of the guy who's now in your courtyard, because Shom notel anochis achafotzim imo lechutz, and there we're afraid that the chametz usually is taken by the guy outside into a Rishus HaRabim, and that's why you're not allowed to sell, according to Beit Shammai back on Yud Chesem Beis, you're not allowed to sell food to a guy. But as far as feeding the guy, it's Rogel Anochi Lechel Sels Miyad B'chotz, and normally the guy would eat the food in the chutz. So it's not running around from place to place in the public eye, and it might look it like he's Yashliach to do a malach on Shabbos. None of that is relevant here. The guy is going to eat the food right here in the chutz. He gave him a bowl of soup, and that's what he's going to do with it. Now, all this is only with regard to food stuff, but other chafatzim, other objects, you're not allowed to give to the guy. And that's true even according to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel are not matir selling or lending to a guy unless he does it on Erev Shabbos. Now we're talking about Shabbos itself. And on Shabbos itself, you don't want to lend objects to a guy. Now the Gemara wants to know, Hasu Lomeli, once you've already told me that I'm allowed to feed my dog in my chatzah, why do you have to tell me I'm allowed to feed a nachri in a chatzah? Why would I think there's any difference between the two? Hainu hach. It's you just repeating the same din. And the Gemara answers, Ma, with the same, I would have thought, Hai Romi Alev, Hai Lo Romi Alev. The reason why we were lenient and we allowed you to feed the dog his mizonos on Shabbos is because it's Rami Alev. That's your responsibility insofar as you own the dog. But in the case of a Nachri, you don't have any responsibility to feed him, and therefore maybe we're not going to be so lenient about giving him mizonos on Shabbos, which is a Tircha. Kamash Malan, the Bryce has to teach me that even though he has no responsibility, no obligation to feed the Nachri, nevertheless, he's still allowed to feed the Nachri in his chatzer. Now, you might ask, once, why didn't the Vrais just tell me the more chidishtik case of Nachri, that you're allowed to feed the Nachri, and then how much more so I would understand that you're allowed to feed the Kelev, which is Mizonosov Alecha. You have a responsibility to feed him. Now, what about a dog that's not yours? So even if the dog is not yours, we have a pasuk in Chumash Lakelev Tashlichno So, which makes it Mizonosov Alecha, even though it's not your dog. You still have to express your gratitude to the dogs who didn't bark on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you have to feed the dogs. Now, Tosus is not sure why the Vraisa allows you to feed mizonos to a nachri when you have no responsibility to feed him. And the Gemara later on says, "Asur li adam lahachil chazir b'shabbos." Why? Because ein mizonos of olav. And if you don't have responsibility to feed the animal, then it's a tircha shelo litzorach. So therefore, it should be also to feed a nachri, since it's not your responsibility to feed the nachri. So Tosus answers based on the Gemara in Gittin that mefarnes in es aniyah nachri yachad im aniyah Yisrael v'nei darki sholom. So the tzorach here that would be matir this tircha is darkei sholom. It's as if it's mezonos of mutolam al Yisrael because of the darkei sholom element. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, lo yaskir adam kelev lenochri b'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to rent out your utensils to a guy on erev Shabbos. It looks like you're getting schar Shabbos. He's paying you for the use of your kelim on Shabbos. So it'd be interesting to think about the following case in contemporary life. Would you be allowed to rent out your car to a guy and have him pay you on an erev Shabbos, knowing full well that he's going to drive your car on Shabbos? And that would seem to be a problem because of this concept of schar Shabbos. Now, before we get into this, let's just read a little bit vayta in the brisa, and then we'll talk about a very fundamental machlokas rishonim here about why it's also a haskir kelim the erev Shabbos to a goy. It says, be revi ubachamishi mutar, you're allowed to rent it to a guy if it's as early as a Wednesday or even a Thursday. Even though the guy is going to definitely use your kelim on Shabbos and he's going to pay you for that. And kayotzibo, fine. The kayotzibo has to do with using the postman, you know, they were sending letters with a guy. But before we get to that, let's talk about the reason why you're not allowed to be maskir kelim to a guy that's going to pay rental fees for the use of your kelim on Shabbos. And then we can talk about why it's different if it's Yom Chamishi. So there's a sheet of Tosfos. That's the first sheet here before we get to the Rashba. And that's here. Dimamaskal Lo Yaskir. And he says, we're not talking about Shvisis Kelim and Beit Shammai, because then it would be also even Berevi B'chamishi. And in all likelihood, your Chiyuv of Shvisis Kelim does not enjoin you to make sure a Goy is not using your Kelim. But rather, it's Ki'ilu, Nirikilu, Notel, Schar Shabbos. Which means that even if the rental extends over a period of a week or a month, nevertheless, since it includes Shabbos, it looks like he's getting Schar Shabbos. Nire kenotel Schar Shabbos. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, Schar Shabbos. I mean, someone, a guy, is using your kelim on Shabbos and he's paying you rental fee for that. It seems like there's a new halach here that the malach is like mitzurif to you. There's some connection here between that malach that's being done, in this case actually by a guy, and you, the Jew, who owns the keli, and are getting rental fees from the guy for using your keli. The actual malach of the guy is like mitzurif elov to the Israel. However, if he rents it out on a Wednesday or a Thursday, then it doesn't look like he's getting paid specifically for Shabbos. Again, you have to make sure that in the fine print of the document, you know, that's the rental document, it's indicated with what's called bavlon. He shouldn't write explicitly that you know, I'm not taking money for. I'm taking money for the following days, including, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's got to be bavla. You know, it's like a week, a month, whatever the Shabbos is inside that period of time. And if he's not notel schar b'havla, then it's also to take schar Shabbos. And that would be even in a case where he rented out his kelim on a Wednesday or a Thursday, but if he's covering Shabbos and there's no havla, then that's really problematic. And that's Tosafot Shita of Nireh Kinotel Schar Shabbos. I don't know what that means, but again, I'm suggesting it's like if he's paying you for the malacha, it's almost like it's your malacha to some extent. I mean, obviously you didn't lift a finger on Shabbos, but it's somehow, you know, it's madbikbecha, you know, it's like it's there's a kind of connection between the malacha itself and the bialim who are getting paid for this use of their utensil for that malacha. You have now a shaychus, you have a bond with this malacha on Shabbos. However, now, again, it could be that, and the Ritva actually spells this out, that your connection to the rental, I mean, you know, the malacha that the guy does with this keli, that's because it's schar Shabbos. He's actually paying you for the use of your keli on Shabbos. But if it would be she'ela, for example, I only lend it to him, that would be mutar. But the Rashba says no. The reason why it's asur to rent out your kelim to a guy on that knowing full well he'll use it on Shabbos is because of a different reason, and that's called Nira Hadavar Shanachu Shlucho Shal Yisrael Lasus Malacha BeKelim Eilu. It looks like the guy is operating, is working on behalf of the Jew, and that's a violation of Amir Liakum, or even without Amira per se, because in this case there was no Amir Liakum, but it's the spirit or the underlying definition or reasoning that underlies the case of Amir B'Shabbos is that it somehow relates that malacha to you. And it looks like when the guy is doing malacha with your kelim and he's paying you for that malacha, it looks like he is actually operating on your behalf. And there's some, again, as we said before, connection between you and the malacha. According to Tosis, the connection between the malacha and you is the fact that you are being paid for that malacha. And you're being paid specifically for the malacha Shabbos. The Rashba says what connects you to the malacha is the fact that it looks like the guy is operating on your behalf as your shliach. I mean, clearly, according to the Rashba, it wouldn't make any difference if he was a socher or a shoel, because in any event, it looks like the Nachri is a shlucho shel Yisrael. But I was wondering, what would be the status of a kli that no one in it's manufactured? All kelim of that species are identical. There's no indication to anyone in the public that the guy is your shliach with these kelim. I mean, who has to know that these are your kelim, unless the Nachri is doing this in your backyard, perhaps? What makes it obvious to the onlooker that he's using your kelim, so that the onlooker will suspect that he's your shliach? Quite interesting, by the way, that the Rif completely omits this Isur of Askaras Kelim L'Nochri Be'er Shabbos, and the reason for it apparently is because he holds that the Isur is based not on the fact that it looks like you're getting paid for Malacha Shabbos, or because people think he's your shliach, but rather because of Shvisas Kelim, and that would reflect the Shita Beis Shammai, which we don't accept La'alocha. Now, what about sending letters with a guy? It says Kayotzi bo, another din that's similar is Ein Meshalchin Igros Biyad Nochri B'Erev Shabbos. You know, the Nochri is your postman, he's your shliach to deliver the letters, and it looks like he's doing a malach on your behalf, which again is a kind of another form or perhaps an extension of Amir L'Nochri. And in all these cases, that malach of a guy is mitzuref to you. He says, "Beravi u'bechamishim mutar." And if it's so early in the week, then you don't have to worry about the fact that he's going to do this on Shabbos. Amrulav al Rabbi Yossi HaKohen V'Amile al Rabbi Yossi HaChassid Shalom Nimtza K'sav Yodo V'Ad Nochri Me'olam. He never gave any sort of a document, an igeres, or in this case a k'sav yodo, you know, some sort of IOU note. He never put it into the hands of a guy because he was always afraid the guy is going to walk around with it on Shabbos. And that would be a violation of Ein Meshalchin Igros B'Yad Nochri B'Erev Shabbos. And better that you don't even come on to this the whole year round. Don't bother sending a document of that sort, B'Yad Nochri Liolam. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa, Ein Meshalchin Igros B'Yad Nochri B'Erev Shabbos. Elim Kane Kotzeitz Lo Domin. So you're only allowed to send a letter with a guy, he's your postman, your carrier, your courier, if you set a certain salary for him. In other words, you determine that he would pay for this, he would be paid, I should say, for this shlichus, X amount of money. In that case, you're allowed to send the biyad agoy, the sigeres biyad agoy on Erev Shabbos, because now the guy doesn't look like he's doing a tircha as a shliach of Yisrael, but rather he's doing it because he wants to get money. He's self-motivated and selfishly motivated. He's not doing anything for the Yisrael. That's not going to happen. What he's doing is because he's going to be paid for his services. In that case, it doesn't look like he's doing it for your purposes as a shliach. He's doing it, adarabah, for his purpose. And on this point, the Gemara is going to quote a machlokas tanoim in a brisa, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein l'shloach igeres b'yad nochri b'erev Shabbos, unless there's enough time, kidei she'agia l'beiso, that the guy could get to his house before Shabbos. You know, it's very interesting because here in Israel, when you take a cab, and most cab drivers are Jewish, then you're worried on a Friday if you hail a cab when it's too close to Shabbos, and you know, you find out that the driver lives who knows where in Modi'in, it's going to take him 40 minutes and it's right before Shabbos. Are you considered a gorev, you're causing him to violate the Shabbos? So here in this case, you want to make sure that the guy is not working for you on Shabbos. So you want to make sure that the postman, this guy, is supposed to reach his house before Shabbos, or he'll reach the house of the that this was letter was sent to, Shtaleach Elov. And Beis Hillel Omrim, Kidei She'agia L'Bayis HaSomach L'Choma. You can send the Sigeres B'Yad Nochri as long as the guy has a chance, he'll have enough time to reach the city at, you know, the house that is Somach L'Choma, you know, near the entrance into the city. And the Gemara now clarifies this Bryce. So the Gemara initially thinks that the Bryce has in mind even a case where the Yisrael was Kotzeitz Domim, he set up a certain salary price they agreed to contractually for the shlichus of the guy, and he's not allowed to send this Igeres on Erev Shabbos unless it'll reach, there's enough time for him to reach before Shabbos enters his Bayis HaSamach L'Choma, that's going to be Yisrael. So Gemara asks V'alo Kotzeitz, why are you insisting on this condition that it has to be enough time for the guy to reach this house at the Samach L'Knisa? Why do we need any of that? It's halo katzatz. He decided that he contractually committed himself to pay a certain salary, a certain fee, and That's called ktsitzas damim, when they decide exactly how much they will be paid for the services. So that again, we don't understand at this point, why is it that we need, according to Beit Shammai, this proviso that the guy will be able to come home, you know, before the end of Shabbos? What do we need that for? Just katzitzas damim seems to be the automatic ipso facto way of neutralizing or circumventing this iser. Amar Rav Sheshes Hachi Kama. And this is what the Bryce has in mind. Im katzas Yisrael schar im nochri. Is Rashoi hu l'sholcho bi erev Shabbos b'chol inyan. So if there was a katzitzas damim, and the fee was agreed upon for this particular form of labor, or let's say it's a case of taking the letter and delivering it halfway across the world, and there's a salary for that. You know, they calculate how much you have to pay for such a thing. And in such a case, since it's katzatz Yisrael schar emanochri, therefore there's no problem of looking as if the guy was your shliach. And Beit Shammai omrim ad sheyegila beiso, he's not allowed to send this shlichus, this igeres, in the hands of the carrier, who's a guy, before Shabbos, according to Beit Shammai, unless ad sheyegila beiso, there's enough time for him to get home. Whereas Beit Hillel says ad sheyegila bais asomach lechoma, as we discussed earlier. So the Gemara now asks the following question: how is it possible to interpret the sefer, this brisa, that there's a situation, a scenario in which a person is allowed to send an igeres b'ad nochri b'erev Shabbos, even in a case where lo katzas es scharo? Right, because it says in the sefer lo katzas, and Beisil nevertheless allows you ad sheyegila beiso. I'm sorry, the bais asomach lechoma. Va'amrit Reisha, the Reisha says in this Reisha, Ein Meshalcha Nigeres Biad Nochri, Elim Kein Katzitz L'Domin, which would seem to imply that even if the Shliach could get home to his house before Shabbos, or he can make it to the place to which he was being sent before Shabbos, in other words, it's awesome to send it in his hand. So how do we reconcile this discrepancy between the Reish and the Sefer, the Brisa? And Gemara answers, Lo Kasha. There's no stira. We're talking about two different scenarios. Let's start with the Sefer. Ha, the Sefer, the Brisa, that permits sending the Igeris with the Yadnachri on Erev Shabbos, even when there was no Kotzat Tzcharo, as long as he can get there, wherever he has to get to, be Bodyom. That's the Kviya Bey Davar Bimasa, which means the following: She Hashalit, the local officer, let's say we call it the Paritz. Now he's sending a letter, the Jew is sending a letter to the Paritz, is Dar Bekviyas Biosa Ir, and he lives in that city. And that's the Sefer that allows you to send the Igeres b'yad anochri, b'erev Shabbos, even without katzitzas scharo. But ha, the reisha, this b'risa, which prohibits you from sending the Igeres b'yad anochri, b'erev Shabbos, if he wasn't kotzitz dovin, that's a case of lo kavaleh, lo kviya be, d'davar d'mosa. He's not a baldira. Again, from time to time, he will be in the Beidva, but he's not there kavua. He's not a shliach kavua in that city. Even if on certain occasions he goes to a different city. So let's try to explain what this is going on. The Gemara is trying to say the following: a person's allowed to send a Nigeris with a goyis is shliach on Erev Shabbos to a person who lives in a different city. But that's only if the recipient of this igeres lives in that city b'kvius, and there's enough time for the shliach to get to the bayis before Shabbos. Now, even if he wasn't kotzeit scharo shel shliach, nevertheless, this is still permissible. Why? Because the guy can do the shliach before, fulfill the shlichus before Shabbos. But if he's sending an igeres, and the makabel, the recipient of the igeres, doesn't live on a permanent basis in that city, then we have to worry that the shliach won't find him in his house. He's like a traveler, and he's going to go out on the derech to try to catch up with him on his heel. He'll try to follow him, so to speak, even if it means going to another city, and therefore you're not allowed to send the sigeres in the hands of a nochri on Erev Shabbos. But even though there's enough time for the guy to reach his bayis before Shabbos, the only time we can be lenient is if it's katzatz hamashaleach eschoro shel nochri. And then it would be mutter to send it according to the Shita Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara in this Teretz mentions that the Geres is earmarked, it was sent to the Shalita ear, to the nobleman in that city. Lo Noctokain El Dugma Bialma. He's only giving an example. That's something that's Dibra Kosa Behova. It's Regilim, it's absolutely Rogil for Anoshim to send letters to the Shultonos, to the higher echelon of government, and therefore the Gemara says that if he sends it, this Igeres, to the Shulton, he must guarantee that Shulton lives permanently in the ear of the Kvius. Avalkeinu adin afi ofen shesholeach adam igeres lechaviro shein rashoi lishloach lo viad nochri meir of Shabbos el mkein amakabal dar b'yosei ir v'kvius. Now the next brisa that we're going to talk about is mafligim b'sfino. You'll embark on a travel over the seas, and if it's too close to Shabbos, it's asur, unless you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. And that's a sugya unto itself, which I'd like to cover tomorrow. So b'li neder, if we can work this out tomorrow, we're going to make a summary of the sugya of Igeres, and we'll try to again smoothen out the what we thought was an apparent contradiction in the ratio of the Sefer. And then we'll be able to start with the sugya of Torah Rabbanon, Ein Mafligim B'Sfina, which is halfway, almost halfway down the Amud on Yud Tes Amud Aleph.